please welcome Xamarin CEO and co-founder, Nat Friedman.
Wow. All right. Welcome to Evolve 2016 here in Orlando. Evolve is my favorite time of the year, and it gets bigger and better every year. And this year, we have 1,600 attendees in Orlando. We have more than 70 speakers, and we have tens of thousands of people watching right now on the live stream. So thanks to all of you for joining us this morning. Evolve gets bigger, Evolve gets better, because Xamarin has been getting bigger and better every year. And in fact, over our 4.5 years as an independent company, Xamarin grew every year. It was incredible. Now, some of you may know that Microsoft recently acquired Xamarin. And over the last few weeks, that's right, if you're just learning now, pretty big news. Over the last few weeks, and in the last 2 days of training, a lot of people have come up to me and they've said, congratulations. And then they ask, is this a good thing? Well, we think it's a great thing, because since joining Microsoft, interest in Xamarin has exploded. Look at all the growth in developers we worked so hard to create as an independent company in the last 4.5 years. And just joining Microsoft in the last few weeks has taken us to 3x that. It's awesome. Xamarin and Microsoft are just better together. And we're better in three important ways. Our community is bigger and better because Xamarin is now included in Visual Studio and will be open source. So there's no barrier to adopting Xamarin. Any developer can get and use Xamarin. Our product is bigger and better because now we can offer you a complete solution from the device all the way to the cloud. And our company is better because we can tap into the resources and the reach and all the wonderful people at one of the world's largest companies. And if I'm honest, I think Microsoft is a little better off with us here too. So. So Satya, my new boss, often reminds us that we're living in this mobile-first, cloud-first world. And I think that's true. But what does it mean to be mobile-first? Well, at Xamarin, we think about two trends when we think of mobile-first. The first is that the world has embraced native apps. And that makes sense. When mobile is your primary target, when that's the main device your software is going to run on, you want to deliver the best app experiences possible. Now, this may be obvious in the case of a consumer app or a game, but increasingly, we're seeing every developer embrace the idea of building mobile apps, even in the enterprise. In fact, I have an interesting statistic I recently read. Gartner reported that in 2014, over 40% of enterprise developers were using native architectures in their apps. By 2015, 1 year later, this ratio had increased to nearly 60%. And we see that trend accelerating. Because it doesn't matter whether your app is a game or whether it's a consumer app that's a top 100 app in the App Store, or if it's an app used by your field service technicians when they're inside the cab of an elevator or underneath a car or servicing an airplane. It needs to be fast and smooth and performant. And with Xamarin, that's what you get, right? An app is native if it can do three things. First, it has to have a native user interface, meaning you actually use the underlying controls and layouts of each device's operating system. We don't have our own drawing code. It's not like using some other frameworks where you end up with an app that looks kind of alien everywhere. So that's first. Second, the app has to actually perform natively, meaning it runs at a compiled speed. You're not using an interpreted language on the device. And that's what we do with Xamarin. We built an incredibly performant AOT compiler for iOS. We use LLVM to give you an optimized binary that runs on iOS, and we use a high-performance JIT on Android. And then finally, as a developer, you're not using a native platform unless you can do anything the device can do, anything the underlying operating system can do. And the way we enable that with Xamarin is that we expose all the underlying operating system APIs into native, idiomatic, comfortable C#. A C# developer once told me, using Xamarin is like slipping into a warm bath. And I like that. So that's the first trend, is native. The second trend that we're seeing that's very interesting, and this is speeding up, is that we're seeing companies build more and more apps, many more than they did before. Now, in the early days of mobile, it was normal for a company to build maybe one or two apps. Maybe they'd outsource them. They would be potentially for their customers, and they'd ship them to the App Store. And each app would be kind of a one-off. It'd be built by one team in their own way, and they'd have an expert or a guru who just loves iOS or loves the Android APIs, and they figured out how to make a great app. But now, companies are building more and more apps. They're not just for their customers. They're for their customers, their partners, and their employees. And we have more and more customers who are building 20, 30, 40, even 100 apps. We call this the appification of business. And these apps are actually taking data from the field and bringing it back into the company to make the company more intelligent and so people can make better decisions. And they're pushing answers out to customers and to employees who are working with customers to build better relationships. It's a huge trend. Apps are starting to show up in places where you would never really expect to see a mobile app, let alone software. Here's one example that we love.
Located in Brazil's major agricultural region, Nuveam Technology uses Xamarin to give farmers unprecedented insight into crop conditions, helping them keep up with growing global demand.
Muitas fazendas aqui não têm cobertura de sinal de celular, muito menos de internet. Por isso, nós precisamos desenvolver as nossas soluções, os nossos aplicativos, atendendo a essas necessidades. A solução ela precisa trabalhar online e offline.
Nuveam's apps are used to monitor and harvest over 1,700 square kilometers of soybeans, an area 50% larger than Hong Kong. Moving to mobile was a crucial step in modernizing this complex process.
Que eu saiba, antes o pessoal fazia isso na papeleta, sujeito à chuva, perdeu o trabalho que é feito.
A nuvem trouxe para a gente dispositivos móveis que veio facilitar, né, essa troca de informações rápidas em tempo real.
É um trabalho que você consegue guardar as informações, gerar dados, ter esses dados por muito tempo.
Consigo ter o histórico de todas as fazendas aqui nessa tela.
A nossa escolha para o Xamarin é principalmente fundamentada pelo desenvolvimento de aplicativos nativos e porque eu posso fazer um reaproveitamento do meu código. Hoje, a Xamarin é capaz de me fornecer ferramentas para cuidar de todo o ciclo de vida da minha aplicação, desde o momento da criação e realização de testes e a entrega do produto para o meu usuário final. Hoje, nós temos funcionário das fazendas que tem a sua ferramenta de trabalho cotidiana, que é um tablet, mas que também pode compartilhar desse dispositivo com a sua família no final do dia.
É por isso que nós estamos felizes de estar aqui. Nós, da Nuveam, descobrimos muito cedo que nós gostamos de fazer na vida. E escolhemos a Xamarin para ser nossa parceira de negócio.
That is an incredible story of how mobile can transform a business like farming that you don't think of as being a software or digital business. And I'm very happy to say the Nuveam team that built that app and was featured in that video are actually in the audience here today. So if you guys want to stand up, give them a big round of applause. Great job. So the question is, if you want to do this in your company, if you want to build a large number of high-quality apps that really alter every part of your business, what do you need to be successful? Well, we think you need two things. First, you need a great platform that's well integrated with a complete DevOps lifecycle. And second, you need an intelligent cloud backend that lets you take advantage of cutting-edge technology and incredible advances that are happening in cloud APIs without having to reinvent the wheel and build your own infrastructure and try to scale it to millions of users. So that's what today's keynote is going to be about. When we crafted today's keynote after Build, we thought, let's make it dense on demos and technology. Let's skip all the BS and just go into the things that you guys want to see. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to show you, which that guy likes. So we're going to show you here great new advances in the Xamarin platform and how you can build an app and use our complete integrated DevOps lifecycle. So to show you the latest stuff, please welcome to the stage my friend, Miguel de Casa. Miguel?
Thank you, Nadi.
Here you go, man.
Yeah. Hi. Hello, everybody. You know, some of you don't know, but Nat and myself met each other about 20 years ago online. And we've been working together for about 18 years. I think 17 or 16 of those working on companies together. So it's been a pleasure working with Nat for so long. So today I wanna show you a lot of things that we have in store. My development team is here. Well, most of the development team, about 100 engineers from Xamarin and our new colleagues at Microsoft. There's a lot of Microsoft people here, so I hope you have a chance to meet them today. So I want to start today with the big announcement that Scott Guthrie had at Build earlier today, last month. And we've captured a couple of key dates in the evolution of open source and .NET. When .NET was announced in 2000, I was immediately attracted to the platform. It solved a lot of problems that we used to have back in the kind of software that I did back then. And I fell in love. And we decided to launch a project to bring .NET to Linux at the time. Eventually, we shipped it. And it's been a long road, but over this period of time, Microsoft has become more open. And we've seen Microsoft open source the .NET class libraries, and Microsoft open source the core CLR virtual machine. And just last month, Scott Guthrie relicensed the Mono runtime under the MIT license. And today, we're happy to announce the open sourcing of all of Xamarin's SDKs. So this is where you can get it. You can go now. Well, no, now you should pay attention. But when once this is over, you should go head over to open.xamarin.com. It's our portal for people to contribute to the effort. There's a lot of things to do. Over the years, you told us, if you open source it, we'll add this feature, we'll modify this thing, we'll prototype that other thing, we'll fix that bug for you. So I'm going to hold all of you that emailed me and said you're going to do it. I'm going to make sure that you do it. But anyways, this is your chance. I think it is fantastic because now you know that the Xamarin SDKs that we're providing to you today will be with you for as long as you want, and that you can bet on this technology. It cannot be possibly, you know, go away. Its future is assured. So where does that put .NET? Well, as of now, .NET is now available on every imaginable platform that you can think of. In fact, it's difficult to come up with a platform where .NET doesn't run. And not only it runs on everything, it runs extremely well everywhere. Nat mentioned LVM. We run very, very fast on embedded devices, on Android and iOS. But we also run on gaming consoles. And in the particular case of .NET Core, they're now over 7 times faster than the most popular web development frameworks out there. So .NET is fast, it's native everywhere, and you know, it's just a delightful platform to work with. Not only because it was always because it was innovative at the beginning, but because the team has kept .NET evolving and they have kept .NET fresh all along. If you guys are tracking the development of the C# language, you know that every few months we learn about a new feature and we learn about new improvements to the language that make the life of developers a lot better. And in fact, Mads and Dustin from the Roslyn team and C# team are here, so hopefully you have a chance to talk to them. Now, let's talk about quality. You guys have trusted your business to us, and we want to reciprocus, you know the word in English. We want to stand by you. Yeah, that's better. We want to stand by you. So we've done a lot of things in the past. In the past few years, we started as a small company with about 11 engineers, and now our engineering team is about 150 people. So we've done a lot. We've put a tremendous amount of work on automating our tests, on getting as many tests as possible, at making sure that we have better quality processes, and that we change our development processes so that whenever we check in a feature, it gets tested before it gets integrated into the system. So we take continuous integration very seriously. We take testing very seriously. You'll hear more about that later today. But one of the big pieces that is improving the quality of Mono is the fact that we're now taking, replacing some parts of the Mono code base that come directly from .NET. So that means better compatibility, fewer bugs, better memory usage, higher performance. And all of this we're getting for free just by integrating the work of the .NET team straight into the product. Now, we ship a lot of software. And when we ship software, we ship the IDEs, we ship the SDKs, we ship APIs, and we ship them all together. We call these cycle releases. Today, we have two cycles that we want you to try. The first one is a release candidate. We think that this release is done, it's complete, but before we make it available to everybody in the stable channel, again, talking about quality, we're making it available as a release candidate. We think it's bug-free. Well, I mean, it's bug-free. You get the idea. You get the gist of it. So it's there. Please try it out. And we have a lot of really interesting things in there. But also, we have a preview on our alpha channel. And on the alpha channel, there's a lot of new goodies that we'll be demonstrating today, and hopefully you'll give those a shot and send us early feedback. I want to start first with Xamarin Studio, Xamarin Studio 6 release candidate, available on the beta channel. And there's just a tremendous amount of features that we've put in this release, and we've tested it left and right. One of my favorite features is the improvements that we've put into the F-sharp language. I know that half of the audience here is F-sharp developers, right? All right, maybe a little bit less than half, but anyways, we really like the work that we've put in F#. In particular, support for shared projects, which is a big deal for mobile developers and people that want to take the advantage of the native capabilities of each platform. But let's talk about two big themes. The first one is, as it turns out, many of you are very young programmers. You know, I'm now an old man. But many of you are young, you're millennials, and you've told us repeatedly that you wanted a dark theme because you hack at night. So we're bringing you dark theme. Now, you guys have been requesting this for years. And you know, I have kids. I can deal with this stuff. Some of you said, why don't you just change the foreground color and the background color? It's a good suggestion. It actually took a lot of work to do this thing. We revisited the entire user interface of Xamarin Studio. Every single pixel on that screen was audited and cared for and curated with love by our amazing development team. They're here. But in particular, Vaslav, I can't see Vaslav right now, but he wrote right there on the front row. Please, Vaslav, stand up. This man is a hero. He drew over 5,000 icons. We didn't reuse the old icons. Every icon was redesigned to match not only the dark theme, but also refresh the whole user interface. Now it feels closer to macOS when you run it on macOS. It feels fresher. It's a flatter design, and it matches the design guidelines of El Capitan. So it's not only dark, it's also the clear theme. The second thing that we've done, and there's a lot of detail here, so when you look at this, just pay attention, because every pixel on this screen was taken care of. A lot of love in there. Now let's talk about Roslyn. And this is the equivalent, the same love that went into the UI went into the IDE itself. The Roslyn team has done an amazing work at turning the C# support into a library that we can reuse. So what we did is we took all of our old code completion, we took all of the engine that we had previously on the IDE, and we replaced it with Roslyn's compiler as a service. This has a lot of benefits. It gives us C Sharp 6, and it gives us great support for C Sharp 6 in the editor. Code completion, every new feature is fully supported. B, it also means that as Microsoft introduces new features into the language, and they're doing it at a very rapid pace, you will get those features right away into Xamarin Studio, in sync with VS Code and in sync with Visual Studio. Code completion is just perfect. The same experience that you expect from Visual Studio comes to Xamarin Studio. We introduced the refactoring essentials that bring a lot of refactoring tools right into the IDE. You don't need an add-in to do this. And the quality is just fantastic. So let me give you a quick tour of Xamarin Studio. I'm going to be using my Mac here. And I have a tvOS project open here. I'm not going to load a lot here. I just wanted to. I'm just going to go straight into code. This is our native designer. So in the past, if you had some broken code, for example here, and you forgot to finish your statement, our IDE would get confused, right? So if you try to get code completion here, it would be broken, right? Our parser was not able to recover from some of these situations. Now it's fully aware, it can recover. This is all Roslyn, right? So now I can go here and fix this code. So that is all thanks to Roslyn. Then the other thing that we've done, we've changed the coding style against my will to the Visual Studio style. Now, you'll notice a couple of things. You see that yellow squiggly there. That yellow squiggly says, hey, Roslyn is trying to tell you that you could probably improve this. And you can do that by right-clicking. Or if you're an advanced developer, there's a hotkey out dot. But you can just go here and go to refactor, and it just does that. So you simplify the code. Now, we have a lot of these improvements, and I'm going to show them to you. So these are the improvements that we have enabled in this particular solution for things that the IDE can do for you. Their warnings and their errors and their suggestions. And in particular, I want to show you that now we added support to warn you about problems with your iOS or Android applications. So not only will show you things like, hey, you can improve this catch, it will also catch some common Android and iOS mistakes. The other thing that we've added is code actions. And these are things that you can trigger from the IDE when you're developing. And we have a lot of these. So for example, one of my favorites is when you have, for example, something like void show message string text, right? You can right-click here and say refactor. Add a null check for parameter. So that's one of the actions. Or add a contract requiring this to not be null. So that is Xamarin Studio. Now let's switch gears and talk about. Thank you. Let's switch gears and talk about Visual Studio. So for Visual Studio, we have a little surprise for you. We show this at build. And this is the iOS simulator for Visual Studio. It is available today. So I know that you've been asking. You showed it, but where is it? Where are the bits, Lebowski? Well, the bits are here. So this is very useful. Essentially, when you're developing in Visual Studio, you typically have two computers. You have your Visual Studio machine, and when you debug, you have to switch to the Mac. And well, that works. It's just a little bit cumbersome. So we're making it easy. And in particular, if you have a Mac Pro, which is what I do, I have a big, nice Mac Pro on the back. You can still use it with your beautiful high-resolution display with Visual Studio and do all your development there. So you still need a Mac. So let's be very clear about that. You still need a Mac, but we're going to remote the iOS simulator to Windows. So what you see here, oh, you see it? No. Oh, yes. Yes, you see it there. So this is the iOS simulator. This is Windows. Windows are running on a Surface. And you can use your finger or you can use the pen. And what is very nice about what we're doing is because I'm using a Surface tablet, I can actually do a lot of debugging an experimentation with the iOS simulator that I can't actually do with macOS itself, right? So I can use pinch to zoom, right? In Mac, you have to use this keystroke combination. So you can actually do this thing. You can actually try a lot of the gestures. But because we had already demoed this at Build, we figured, how can we demo something new for Evolve? So we figured, why don't we demo the iPad Pro and showing the pressure on the pen? So as you know, the iPad Pro now supports pen pressure. And the Surface also supports pen pressure. So for example, here, if I draw with my finger, it will draw in red. So I can say hello. Right? And if I draw with the pen, it will draw in gray. Okay. But this is what is very nice. You can actually, if I press here, like that, it paints darker, right? You see that? You guys see that? No. Yeah, all right. And for those of you that follow the calligraphy Instagram account, you'll know that you're supposed to do the downstrokes are hard. Is it hard? Yes. The downstrokes are, no. The upstrokes are light and downstrokes hard. All right, so, okay, you get the idea. So that's the iOS simulator. We're very happy about that. Now, the other piece that we're doing to complete the picture is many of you have your iPhone, and your development phone is also your personal phone. And instead of having to attach it to your MacBook Pro down there, what we're doing now is we're remoting the USB port from your Windows machine to the Mac. So as far as the Mac is concerned, when you plug your phone into your Surface or your Windows machine, it just has an extra USB port, so you can deploy directly from Windows to your machine attached to your Surface Book. And it will, you no longer have to deploy it to a separate machine. So all of this is part of our preview. Now, that's the IDE, Xamarin Studio, Visual Studio. Now let's switch gears. And there's a lot more. We just don't have time to cover it all. Now let's take a look at our APIs. We're adding a couple of very nice features to Xamarin Forms that you've been requested for a long time. And I'm going to focus on a few of these. The first one is we're adding native embedding APIs. So you've been using the Forms API to create your user experiences. But every once in a while, you need to create a native control and slap it into your app, right? And usually, we tell you, go and build a custom renderer and put in your pickle and put some share projects, some if statements here. It's kind of a it's a little bit burdensome. So we've made it very simple. Now you can just add any UI view or any Android widget to your Forms UI by calling this method. So the add method takes a UI view on iOS, and it also takes a widget on Android. And you can just embed it. The other feature I wanted to talk to you about is we now support native deep linking. It's always been supported, but it's always been cumbersome. You've always had to do some platform-specific magic. You've always had to do a little bit of extra work. Now with Forms, you just override this method. And whenever a request comes to load a page, either because a friend sent you a URL or because you visited a website, now this will launch your native application. It will invoke this method, and we've conveniently left that with three dots. And the reason is there's many opinionated ways of handling that URL. So I didn't want to get into a war with you. I think you should use Prism, but anyways. This will handle your URL routing. And what that means is that if you go to a website, it will activate the proper page. Right? So if you go to a speaker's page, it will go directly to your speaker page, just the same way that you would build an ASP.NET app. And also, we've added APIs to populate the data store on iOS and Android so that as you browse the application, we populate the system index. So whenever the user tries to search something, it will show up on the results. So if you browse your if you browse the calendar and you favorite a few things, it will show up also on your Siri Spotlight searches. Now, for the next feature, I want to invite my colleague and the amazing technical program manager Nina on stage to show you the next feature.
Thanks again. Hello, friends. Hi. Some of you have asked me what XAML stands for. XAML stands for Xamarin and Microsoft Love. That's what XAML stands for. Thank you. That's it. Some of my friends like to drink coffee out of those little pods, but I don't do that because I have taste. I like to drink fancy coffee. So we made an app that helps me keep track of all of the fancy coffee that I drink. Yay. And as you can see, we wrote this app's UI using XAML. Now, I love XAML. I think it's a really intuitive and familiar way to define your UI. But it still doesn't solve the biggest problem for me in forms development, which is that I have to build and deploy my app every time I want to see it. Right? So today, we are introducing a new experience for Xamarin Forms. Because we know that the only thing better than writing your app's UI in XAML is seeing it right in front of you. Oh, you can keep clapping. I know. With an experience like this, it's no wonder that Microsoft is renaming XAML to Xamlerin. Welcome to the Xamarin Forms Previewer. This is what our app looks like on Android. And here it is on iOS. And oh yeah, I could use these zoom controls on the surface here, but I could also be a civilized person and use beautiful gesture zoom that we've built in for you. Yes, clap for the gesture zoom. Thank you. I think it's lovely. I love it. OK. So what if I wanted to change some colors, right? Because like in the past, if I wanted to change a color, it would take forever. But now it updates instantaneously. And if I wanted to add some more interesting data into my app, all I have to do is just update the data binding. And my flavor profile will show up. Yeah, I know, right? And I will make sure this looks good in landscape, which, of course, it does. So you've probably noticed these beautiful circle images that we have here. This is a custom render. And in fact, the same magic that brings you this also brings you support for custom controls in the Xamarin Android Designer. From our dev team to yours, you're welcome. Now, I love the idea of bringing the Internet of Things into my house. So I taped an Android tablet to my fridge. And as you can see, this app looks great on that. And for those of you on iOS, you'll be delighted to know that this app works on your fridge iPad as well. Thank you. The Xamarin Forms Previewer is available today in the Alpha channel. And it works with the latest version of Xamarin Forms. Have fun. Thank you.
Well, that was fantastic. You guys also said, why don't you put three lines of code and do that? It actually took a little bit longer. But the team did an amazing job, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. So the last thing that I want to talk to you about is something that is very close to my heart, which is learning and teaching and exploring. So we've showed this at Build. It's called Xamarin Workbooks, and this is a technology that we want you guys to use to become more effective and to be more productive in your day-to-day life. So let me get started here. So I'm going to do a demo of this technology now. So when you launch Workbooks, Workbooks is an evolution of our story to do interactive C# development. We've been fans of this technology for a very long time. And when you launch Workbooks on a Mac, you get a couple of platforms that we support. We support developing C# interactively against the Mac, against iOS, or against Android. If you do this on Windows, on the other hand, you get WPF, Android, iOS. And the interesting thing is that you can plug these into other project types. So if you have your own game engine, you can plug this in. Or if you have an ASP.NET application, you can plug this in. So let's create a workbook for iOS. And this is roughly the experience. You've probably used in the past interactive C# shells. So you will be familiar with this powerful expression. I can type an expression. It computes it. That's valid valid C# statement. I can say hello. And I want to show you something that is interesting. If I go back here, let me go back and assign this to a variable, sum. This will re-execute anything from that point on to the last location. So let's use a little bit of C# 6 functionality here. So this is powered by Roslyn. So anything that you can do in Roslyn is available here. So you got code completion inside this. And if I run it again, oh, what happened here? We need this, OK? It executes. So what is interesting is that if I make any changes here, it would automatically update. So what we want to do with this is we want to make it very easy for you guys to try and experiment things. Now, this alone is not that interesting. We can create, for example, because I'm running in the context of an iOS app, I can say MapKit. I can create a map view here. And I'm going to create it with the dimensions of the screen. Right? This is very interesting. Now I can set it to my key window. And you can see that you can that you're getting code completion for all of this, and I am now exploring my native APIs here. You'll notice one thing. This might not look that exciting. When I created my map, I got this thing which looks like a two-string representation. That is not very useful. You can actually switch the data representation to this one, and you can examine all the properties. And you can see that the display is very rich, because when it displays the center coordinate, which has a latitude of 30, and maybe we should display it as with this notation instead, right? It shows a little preview in the UI. And you can see that the center is somewhere in the middle of the ocean, so that's why it's there. Now, these concepts exist for any other data type. So for example, let me do this, color.red. So when a value is rendered richly. In this particular case, it detected that it's a color, so it's rendering in ARGB mode. But you can change this, for example, to a CSS mode. Or you can actually inspect what the UI color is made of in the same way. So what we want you guys to do with this is essentially we publish a lot of APIs. There's a lot of APIs that are coming constantly for Android and iOS. And we don't want you to have to start a new project, put the API, recompile, redeploy, and come back, right? We want you guys to quickly experiment and be able to learn the APIs without doing anything else. And you can also declare classes here. So if you need to create a subclass of a UI table view, you can do it right here. Now, what is interesting about this is that at this point, you're thinking, well, I learned a valuable lesson here. You create the map, and then you add it to the view. Now, let me share this with a coworker. So I'm gonna annotate this. So I'm going to write some text here. I'm going to say, this is how you create the map view. And then let's add a comment here. I'm going to click on this icon and say, and once you have your UI view, you can add it to your root view controller. This is all iOS stuff. And you know, let's do a little bit of formatting here. What would be nice here? Let's make that bold. All right. What is interesting about this is that when you save this file is going to be saved as a markdown file. So everything that you see here is markdown, and all we've done is annotated the pieces of C# code with the C# context. So when you load these markdown files, we are able to execute it. And in fact, we're turning all of our documentation over to this system. So whenever you visit the Xamarin site, you'll be able to download the workbook and follow along the documentation with the actual code that you can try yourself and experiment with. So let's take a look at one of the workbooks that we have. This is a workbook that we have to learn how to use the Azure App Services. And in particular, here we have some data loaded from the conference application. And what we're going to do is this has already a NuGet. You can add packages here, right? So you can search here for Azure, for example. And you can add your package. It gets inserted into your app. We already have that one referenced in this particular case. And what I'm going to do is this class that I'm declaring here is represents some of the elements that we already have loaded in the database. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to download it. And this is very simple. This is how you create the connection to Azure, right? And then I'm going to fetch the table from Azure. And then we're going to read the first 20 guys from here. And what is very nice about this is that I can, you know, you can download these workbooks and start experimenting without the trouble of, you know, copy-pasting this somewhere else and then seeing if it runs and, you know, the trouble that you have with that. Now, I am guessing that, oh, here it comes. So you see, again, the rich result that come down. It's a list. It knows that it's an enumerable, so it lists some of this, and I could continue enumerating here. But I also can drill down on these variables right into the UI. You can see that I have an avatar URL, the name of the speaker, and then the avatar image, which is a UI image. So let's go and load these images. So I'm just going to execute this code. I press, again, shift return, or just return at the end of the line. And this is going to iterate over all the employees and fetch the images from the web and put it into the employee variable. So now when I open these guys, I can actually see the picture that was downloaded. So that's Chris. Then we have Aaron, when he was told that he needed to put this demo together last night. this is Joseph, when his, I guess his pull request was denied. And Anuj, we don't know what happened to Anuj. Anyways, one of the issues that we have here is clearly that the morale after telling them to do this demo last night is not very high. So what we're going to use is we're going to use Azure Cognitive Services API that was just announced at Build. And again, we already added the NuGet to this project. So all I'm going to do here is I'm going to go here and I'm going to try this API. So I'm going to say, go and recognize the emotion of the first employee. That was Chris. So I'm going to run this thing. And so let's take a look. What is the emotion of Chris? Well, anger, low contempt. And this is tricky. Remember, E minus 05, so very low disgust, very little fear. Happiness, not there. Kind of neutral. So let's just go ahead and run it through all the employees. So this is going, hitting Azure, building my account. So let's take a look at this now. So Chris, happiness level 0.002, thank God. Aaron, 001. Oh, not good. All right. So what we're going to do is now we're going to put it in an iOS table view. And this is what I was talking about. You can very easily create a UI table view straight here, right? So you can see here some beautiful C# 6 where you implement the whole method just with the arrow operator. I think it's called the Anders operator. And then so I'm just going to run this code. And this is just loaded into the table view right there. Now, one thing that I want to do is, you know, I'm not an emo tycoon guy. At my age, you need a bigger indicator. So I'm going to just declare here, I'm going to set the background color for each cell. So we're going to start with a clean background. So we're just going to go here and say, when the guy is angry, let's set the color to red. And then let's just set the background color to the color, right? So if I hit shift return, it changed life. Or I can just say name, shift return, live updates. So anyways, this is very exciting. Now, do you want to see another workbook, or should we move on? Yeah? Thank you, thank you. I was afraid you were going to not, you're going to say, yeah, move on. So in the age of HoloLens, we're all going to become 3D developers. Can we get this? Yeah. So in the age of HoloLens, we're all going to become 3D developers. And what better time to start experimenting than using our cross-platform library? This library works across all platforms. So I'm going to give you a quick show of how you do this thing. So again, all of these properties you can explore and expand. But I'm going to start here by just showing you a ball there. Right? So we just create a node. It's a sphere. We're going to change the color to blue because that's the color of planet Earth. And we're going to make it a little bit larger. Right? And actually, let's put a texture instead. So now that's starting to look like a planet. I'm going to repeat all those steps, but now for the moon. So now we have the moon. Same thing, just shift return. And let's animate those two guys, because everybody knows that that's how the moon works. And but I want you to see how easy it is to add this 3D property. So in this era of VR and AR and things that you can do, you can put this on Android, iOS, or Windows. And I'm just going to finish this up by adding 3,600 satellites and a bunch of satellites here, one on top of Orlando. So if I run, I should be able to get it on time to go on top of Orlando. And there it is, on top of Orlando. And all of these workbooks will be available after the keynote for you to play with. And of course, the download should be available now. Don't go now. Wait until we're done. So that's it for the platform. I think that if I want to leave you with one message is .NET is a native developer platform. It's available everywhere, and it's open source. And I want to bring back Nat.
All right, what do you guys think of all the new features in Xamarin Platform? We are really excited, and I also have to say I love Microsoft Cognitive Services. I think that shows kind of the power of the cloud, because building and using these kind of services on your own would be really challenging. So you've seen how powerful our tools can be for developing apps, and what I want to use the last part of the keynote here to do is to show you, to kind of put it all together and show you what it takes to actually build an app from scratch and then run it through the whole DevOps lifecycle that we mentioned before. And to do that, please welcome to the stage my friends, Nish and James. Come on out, guys. Good to see you, James.
Hey, Matt.
Nish.
Hey, Matt, thanks.
All right.
Awesome.
Woo, look at this. This is amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
Amazing. Pretty awesome, right? Yep.
Yeah.
So these two guys are two of our best mobile app developers in the company. Pretty awesome.
Thank you.
And you may not know this, but James actually built the Xamarin Evolve app that many of you have already been using here at the conference. It's a great app.
What do you guys think?
Pretty good?
Yeah. Thank you, yeah. It was actually really fun to build. It's 100% with Xamarin Forms. Amazing native features. It's about 15,000 lines of code across iOS, Android, and Windows 10, desktop, and mobile. And you know how long it took me to build it?
Tell me.
5 weeks.
Whoa,
just five
wait,
weeks.
Wait, wait, what?
5 weeks.
5 weeks?
Yeah.
I can build that in 5 minutes.
No, that doesn't.
I'm serious. So let me build this in 5 minutes, and you buy me a cup of chai.
I mean, all right, well, if you can't build it in 5 minutes, mm-hmm. you got to buy me one of those fancy Seattle pour-over coffees.
Awesome, that's done.
All right, what do you guys think? Can Nish do it? Let's give it a
Let's
shot.
See.
All right, now, I believe in Nish. He's incredible. He can build the Evolve app in 5 minutes. But to help him out here, in case we run short on time, I'm going to slip in a wild card. which is a new feature we're introducing today in Xamarin Forms that we call data pages. The concept of data pages is that we've seen in hundreds of apps that our customers have built, people build a lot of user interfaces that are pretty similar. You grab a lot of tabular data from an endpoint in JSON format or from the cloud, and then you want to build a master detail view, right? You have a list of items, and you tap, and you see the details. So data pages allows you to grab data from Azure App Service tables or from JSON, and then automatically generates a native UI in Forms. What do you think, Nish? Will that help?
That's absolutely right. So data pages is my wildcard today. All right, so
now,
James.
Hold on. Okay. Now, when I built the Xamarin Evolve Commerce app, I did file, new, blank content page. Welcome to Xamarin Forms. Everybody knows that. So what's going on here? What are you starting with? Are you building the entire app? What are you building?
Well, this is exactly where we are going to start. It's a file new project. The only difference is I don't have a content page, which you'll have seen a number of times with Welcome to Xamarin Forms. Well, that's not there. Okay. It's all tab page right now. And I'm going to quickly add two tabs.
OK.
Sessions and speakers. That's the most important.
Most one. Important stuff, yeah. Especially my session later today at 5:30.
Yep. All right. All right, so let's get the sessions added out here. There you go. That's the list data page. Brand new from the Data Pages API. Now, James, you would have worked with many data sources in the past.
Oh, yeah. Right?
So we could do this with JSON. Well, that would be a mock data. It's best for debugging and testing. Well, I thought for this demo, it would be even cooler to build it on Azure.
You're going to do it live. Oh, my goodness.
Using your data sources. Right?
All right. All ready? Right. I did put it all in Azure, so luckily enough for you.
All right.
You're welcome.
All right, I take that.
You're welcome. But so where is that data?
I'm going to add the speakers as well.
Speakers.
So let's run this. All right, James, I looked at your code, all right? The application looks amazing.
Thank you.
But your code.
Hey, easy guys.
Hey
easy.
Now.
Come on.
All right. So you had a content page, you had a list view, and you had an item source, you had a data template.
That's what you do.
And then you had whole sort of layouts and everything to
make this app. Makes a beautiful application.
All right, James. Now, what you see here is less than 30 lines of code. Oh, like actually 20 if you really look at it.
All right.
And
where's the code behind?
There's no code behind.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Prepare to have your mind.
I'm ready. You guys ready?
Ready? There you go. That's the entire data from Azure into a beautiful app with just a few lines of code.
Wow.
That's beautiful. All right, I'm impressed.
All right, James, this is, I know you like Android, so I just brought this up.
I do. I love material design, layers.
Yeah. Beautiful card view out there. Do you see that?
I see it.
Why don't you go and swipe right? Let's
take a look around. We'll swipe. Oh, there we go.
Oh, that's speakers. Do you see the difference?
Yeah, it's nice different. How did that work?
Well, that's this style class out here, right here. Do you see that? There's events and contacts, which automatically does a beautiful job for you looking at your data and then building a beautiful UI.
So these are the two data page styles that we're shipping now.
That's right.
But you can extend data pages with your own styles, and we're expecting to see many more in the future.
Yeah. So
why don't you go and tap Jason Smith there?
Love Jason. How does Xamarin
work? Oh, look at that.
Love him. Look at this. Oh, yeah.
So this is a master detail page hooked on
automatically.
All right, let me ask you guys a question, because it seems to me like the data you're pulling from Azure is just popping into the app here. It's kind of amazing, almost unbelievable. What if my data is not in the right format? Is there a way of handling that?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely not. We can do that. So right now, we are lucky that the table names matches exactly how we have templated this. So we can go and, OK, let me just quickly show you the table, right?
Oh, so
this is the Azure Easy Table data. So this is how it has been matched exactly. Now, we can go and change that too. I mean, this is something which you guys are very used to it. So I'm just going to add a few lines of code. Stop debugging. There you go. That's what it is. You go and customize the default item template, your regular stuff, data template, view cell, and just bind your appropriate models out there.
That's it.
Pretty easy.
Yep.
Now, this is a pretty good looking application. I love Android, love material design. I didn't want to give away too many secrets, but the reason maybe that it's looking so good is because I snuck up on stage ahead of time and installed a NuGet package for another new feature we're announcing today, which is Xamarin Forms Themes, which is an entire way of theming any Xamarin Forms application with just a single line of XAML in your app, XAML. And actually, if you head over to there really quick in here.
James,
I knew the secret before.
What?
Right? All right, let's go. I know where to do this. App.xaml, your resource dictionary. Let's go to the dark side. It's dark theme.
So with one line of code.
That's it.
The whole app rethemes?
Yes, absolutely. All right, James, you're an Android guy. Nat and I, we love iOS. We're going to look at this theme.
They want to clap, Nish.
All right. So we're going to look at this on iOS in the beautiful simulator. Okay, I already deployed this, so there you go. That's the black theme, or the dark theme.
Awesome.
Perfect.
That's awesome. Incredible.
I have to give it to you. I think I have lost this bet. I'll go buy you. I'll buy you that.
That's a great idea. Let's go now.
All right. Great job, Nish. Thanks, James. See you guys. Data pages and themes are awesome. You can apply themes to any Xamarin Forms app. It doesn't have to use data pages. And we hope it's going to help you make apps that look great out of the box much more easily. Now, the next stage in DevOps is making sure that you can actually test your app. Because before we ship it to 1,600 people here at the conference, we want to know that it's actually going to work on everyone's device. And so we have a new feature that I want to show you here today. And to do that, please welcome Jessica Steger. Jessica?
Thanks, Matt.
Hey, Jessica.
Hey. Great. So as you guys know, we have Xamarin UI Test, which is our testing framework for running automated tests on mobile apps. And as most of you guys learned in training the past couple days, you can write those tests in C# by hand. And that's great. But I'm really excited to present today Test Recorder for Visual Studio. So to start recording tests in Visual Studio, I click the new test recorder icon in my UI test file and hit record new test. I'm going to select the compiled app I want to test. And Visual Studio is going to launch this in my Visual Studio Android emulator.
Now, a lot of people, or maybe I should say some people, build unit tests in their apps. Right? And
right.
So that helps you test the guts of your app, the libraries, and network code, and so on. But UI tests actually test the user interface and the way a user would use the app.
Is this a test net?
I think we passed. I don't know.
That's right. So this is a great way to test how users actually use your app. So as you can see here in my code, Test Recorder went ahead and created a new test for me. Since I'm using a Surface, I can actually use a touchscreen to interact with the app like I would on a mobile device. So if you watch my code here and I click on the Speakers tab, you can see that Test Recorder auto-generated that code. I'm going to go ahead and continue working through the app. I'll click on my colleague, Jason Smith.
We're really picking on Jason today.
I know. Good-looking guy. I'll scroll down. Let's find his email here. I'm going to tap on it. And at this point, the test looks pretty good to me. I can go ahead and stop recording. I'll rename this test. Email Jason Smith. And my code's ready to commit to my source control. I can rerun this test on my devices here, or I can upload it to Test Cloud, where I can run it on the devices we have there.
Pretty fantastic. I guess what we've done is we've eliminated any excuse for not writing tests.
I hope so.
Awesome. Thanks. Thank you, Jessica. So we've been on stage about 9 minutes. We built an app. We rethemed it. It's pulling data from Azure. It looks great, and we have a test. The next step in DevOps is to build that in continuous integration, distribute the app, and then get it out to users. And so to help us see how we can do that with the entire combined Xamarin Microsoft stack, please welcome Donovan Brown. Donovan?
Thank you so much for having me. Good morning, everyone. No, let's try that again. Good morning, everyone. Oh, perfect. I am so excited to be here and share with you the investments we're making in mobile DevOps. DevOps is the union of people, process, and products to enable continuous delivery of value to our end users. Now, we all know mobile has unique challenges: device proliferation, development, testing, distribution, and monitoring are all unique when we work with mobile. But with the addition of Xamarin and HockeyApp into the Microsoft family, we now have everything that you need. All you have to do is focus on writing the next hot app and leave the rest to us. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the app that you just saw us create. We're just going to rub a little DevOps on it. We're going to make it a little bit better. We're going to begin with continuous integration. So what continuous integration is going to enable, it's a practice where upon every check-in, we actually download, build, and test your application. So the test that we just checked in is going to be able to be run for us immediately. So what we're looking at now is actually a test summary or build summary screen. The build summary is where we get a heads-up display of everything that we just built. Who built it, when it was built, the work items that they were working on, the files that they changed, and even the test results from Xamarin Test Cloud.
This is like home base for your whole mobile team. All the developers on your team, this is where they come, they see what they need to do, they see if the build's working, they say who's done what on the app.
Absolutely, because Visual Studio Team Services is everything that you need to turn an idea into a working piece of software. It's more than just continuous integration. It's your source control, it's your agile planning tools, it's your continuous integration and your continuous deployment all in one product. And what we're able to do here is actually surface that information here in our build summary. Now, obviously, a summary of your test is good, but there's times where you just need to go and get a little bit more detail. And the Xamarin Test Cloud is a great place to do that. We actually have a link here, but I've already opened it. And what we're looking at now is basically the Xamarin Test Cloud that allows us to see all of the tests that we've been executing against it. Now, what I want to be able to do here is actually drill into some of our test steps. So on the left-hand side, I have all of my test steps, and I have all my test cases. I think I have a better example here. And what I'm able to do, actually, this is not the better example that I wanted here. Here's the one I want. Sorry about that. So what we have here is the individual steps that I took during my test and a screenshot of every device as it was being tested. And as I click through, the actual screen updates. Now, if I want more information about a particular device, I simply click on it. From here, I get information about the memory usage, the CPU usage. I can download device logs and test logs. And if I needed to know even more about it, I can simply open up the device details. Now I know exactly what form factor I'm using, screen resolution, memory, the whole nine yards. Now these images are great, but a video would be much better because I would be able to then look at my animations, look at my timing, and make sure the app is working the way that I want it to. And over here, we actually have one of these playbacks already queued up. So now what I'm doing is I'm looking at an actual video of the device being tested.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to pause for applause here, guys. Let's go ahead and do this. This is exciting stuff. This is really, really powerful technology that we have here.
And I think, you know, it's great that we have the Test Cloud functionality, but a lot of what's new and different here is we've really integrated tightly with VSTS.
Absolutely.
So as you make check-ins to your source control and you have CI running, your tests are running automatically and results are being pulled back into VSTS.
That is exactly what's more exciting, because a lot of us have seen this already, but we haven't seen it integrated as part of our CI platform. And what I'm going to do here real quick is jump back into Visual Studio Team Services. What you're looking at is the build definition that made all of this possible. All the developer has to do is make a change and check it in. The rest is all taken care of for you. It's a really simple task-based build system. You add tasks, you configure them, and we'll take care of the rest for you. You can build any language targeting any platform. We didn't mention this when we were talking about Test Cloud, but I did not have to write my application using Xamarin. I could have used Cordova. I could have written it in Java. If I'm brave enough, I could have done it in Objective-C, but
And in fact, we had at Build a few weeks ago, we were really proud to feature a couple of the amazing Test Cloud customers in the keynote, including Pinterest and Slack, who both use Test Cloud to make sure their apps work for all their many users.
Exactly.
Pretty awesome.
And it's truly cross-platform, because our Build agent runs on Mac, it runs on Linux, and it runs on PC. So anywhere you want to go, we can get you there. Just remember, any language, any platform. This is not just .NET, this is not just mobile, this is for everyone. Now, one thing I want to point out is there's a task at the bottom. It's the HockeyApp task. HockeyApp is a really hot technology that allows you to download new versions of your application directly to your device, bypassing a store. So upon this task running, all of our users get notifications on their phones that there's a new version. They're able to look at release notes and instantly download that application directly to their device. Then Hockey App springs into life, starts collecting device information, user information, and user analytics that we can actually use to go back in and troubleshoot. One of my favorite features is crash analytics, because no matter how hard we test, no matter how hard we try, I sling a lot of code, and unfortunately, I write quite a few bugs as well. And they slip through the cracks, and they get out there. But Hockey App will tell me about the crash, where it happened, and even on which device. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump you over to the Hockey App dashboard, where I get to see all of the apps that Hockey App is managing for me. As you can see, I'm quite busy. When I'm not on stage, I'm slinging code. All right, so I write quite a few apps. But what it allows me to do is to focus on one particular app. Let's go and look at the actual Evolve app that we're running here today. It allows me to see how many users I have, how many versions of that I have in flight, how many times it's been downloaded, and even how many sessions are being actively used. So this isn't how many people have downloaded, but actually how many people are using the application. So this is really powerful, rich information for me. Now, as I mentioned before, it gives me the ability to track my crashes. I wish I didn't have any, but unfortunately, we do. But what I like about Hockey App is the way that it groups that information for me so that I can easily find what's important to me and diagnose the problem. In addition to that, if I were to drill into one of these, I actually get to see the stat trace. And as you can see, this stat trace has actually been collapsed for me, so a lot of noise is out of my way. I get to focus on the stat trace that's important to me so that I can go back in and find a place I might want to put a breakpoint in my code.
And if you've used and loved Xamarin Insights, you'll be happy to know the Xamarin Insights and Hockey App teams are working together now, and we're bringing all of the great features and user experience of Xamarin Insights to Hockey App over time. This is the first step.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. I think that's one example of why I am so excited about Xamarin, Hockey App, and Microsoft now being one, because what we're able to do is just unprecedented. It's almost as if we went into the future, found this hot tech, and then brought it back with us so that we could use it today. And together, literally, the sky is the limit for us.
Now, let's close the loop. We've got a crash here. Despite the tests, despite all our hard work, we have a crash that's occurring, it looks like, on only one device.
Yeah, it's something called a Motorola Moto G3.
Anybody have a Moto G3 in the audience?
I've actually never even seen one of these before.
You don't have a Moto?
And people give me a hard time for having a Windows phone.
All right. Well,
I don't
it's
even
a
know
challenging
this
situation. This happens to people sometimes. Your app crashes or has a problem on a device you don't own. Well, there's lots of devices out there in the world, and so it's really challenging to have a device lab or a drawer in your desk with every possible device on it, and yet you've got to somehow debug and fix this problem. And so the way we're going to do that is through a new feature we're introducing today called Test Cloud Live. Thank you. Test Cloud Live is awesome. It allows you to use any device that's in the Test Cloud Lab today to test and debug your app remotely. And we're going to show it to you.
Right. So remote debugging is the ability to attach to something remote. Normally, when we're doing development, we're normally in here and we're doing something against an emulator or a simulator. But as you see here, I have this new cloud list. Now, this is a device that I reserved in Xamarin Test Cloud so that I could actually attach to it and actually do a debugging session. So if I go over here and I go ahead and click on play, as you can see, I actually have this new device, and it's a real device who thinks it needs to be updated. So let's go ahead and skip
that. Let's not do that now.
And as you can see, now I can actually interact with it. I'm using a device that allows me to use my finger, so I can go to maps if I want to. I can scroll around the maps like I normally would. I can use two finger gestures to kind of zoom in and zoom out. So I'm actually using a real device here. And I have access to it directly from the cloud. Now, there's more than just that device. If we were to go to the Xamarin Test Cloud, we can see tons of different devices that we have access
to. This is one of the challenges of mobile, is that there's so many form factors, so many devices, so many OEMs and operating system versions, and there's no way you can stock all of these. We have customers who say, hey, we're going into India, we need 20 Micromax devices. We're going into China, we need the OnePlus devices. And so we procure and maintain all of those for you.
Great. So what's happening is the code is actually being uploaded and installed on that device in the cloud. Then we're wiring up the remote debugger so that anything that I do in the application will then trigger the debugger to actually hit my particular breakpoint. Now, as we notice, this is taking a while to load, and this might be why we were having trouble with this particular
device.
It's an old device. It's a slow device, and that might actually be why we need to have a specific device to be able to test it. Now, if I remember correctly, from the stack trace, if I click on this announcements here, the announcements seem to be the way or the place that would actually get me to my breakpoint.
And now, it looks like the app is frozen after you did that, so maybe is it crashing now?
It's a very, very slow device. It could very well be crashing right now, or I might just have to click.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, actually, there we are. So we're now back inside of our debugger, inside Visual Studio. That is because we're at a breakpoint, right? So the application saying, hey, I'm not responding, is, of course you're not responding. I'm sitting here at a breakpoint actually using the app. So this is going to change the way that we develop. We are literally changing the rules for mobile development and mobile DevOps. Again, the union of Microsoft, Xamarin, and HockeyApp is just amazing. Well,
that's an announcement we're not making.
Exactly.
Today.
We're not making that announcement. That's a very good point. We integrate with everything. That's a good save on that one.
That's right.
But what I want to do is I want to say thank you so much. I want to ask you one last question. Are you guys excited?
Right.
No. Let's try that again. Are you guys excited?
Woo!
Yes. I want to thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast.
Thank you, Donovan.
Yeah, I genuinely want to say welcome to Microsoft. We are so happy to have you.
We're happy to be here.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ben. Got some pretty excited new colleagues at Microsoft. That's pretty awesome. So you guys have seen a lot of new features, a lot of stuff we weren't even able to mention here that is now available for download. It's incredibly exciting. All of the details for how you get all of this stuff are available now on our blog, so please go to blog.xamarin.com. We're thrilled about the possibilities that we have now integrated with Microsoft to give you a complete end-to-end developer platform. And we hope you can see the potential. We just joined Microsoft a few weeks ago, and we're already starting to see the fruits of that. It's exciting. This end-to-end DevOps solution is a best practice that we want you all to have. You should go from code committed to green build to tests accepted to a new device on your tester's devices within a few minutes. You can all be there. It's an exciting place to be. And then when you introduce the cloud, I think the big takeaway here is you can unleash the power of amazing advanced APIs like cognitive services and the ability to scale. So this is our biggest and our best conference yet. We have some amazing sessions planned and a lot of fun in the Darwin Lounge. I hope you have a great time. Thank you very much.